After our Father's Day break last week, we're back to continuing our studies and messages through the book of Galatians. Today's main issue is spiritual reversion, going back to positions that we should have moved on from. Now, that's always an important issue for us as Christians. It's always important for us to check where we're at, that we ourselves aren't subtly going back to something that we should have moved on from, that we aren't losing our freedom and reverting to positions that keep us in bondage. What we read about in chapter 4 of Galatians is that the Galatian Christians were going back to positions that they should have moved on from. Having experienced spiritual freedom in Christ, they were choosing to go back into a spiritual bondage. And today we're looking at Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 31, and seeing why this happened and how this happened and what it took them back into. We gain insights into this passage by first asking again, who were these people? And by understanding who they were, we can understand some of the reasons why they may have reverted to positions where they should have moved on from. It was Paul and Barnabas who first took the gospel to the region of Galatia on their first missionary journey. Galatia is a region in South Turkey, and we read in Acts chapter 13 and 14 that Paul and Barnabas visited that region and preached and shared the gospel of Christ. They visited four main cities in that area: Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And their strategy was to go to the Jewish synagogue, being Jewish themselves, and there to share who Jesus was, that Jesus had come, that the Messiah had come, and there to share the message of Christ in the Jewish synagogue. Now, in the Jewish synagogue, there were both Jewish people, naturally, but there were also people called God-fearers. They were Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who had converted to Judaism. And they, both Jew and Gentile, some of them became Christians and responded to the message that Paul and Barnabas shared. It wasn't too long later that they were visited by Jewish teachers. And these Jewish teachers believed that Jesus was the Messiah also, but they were stressing that Christians had to keep the Old Testament law, that they had to keep the Old Testament customs and merge the two with their new faith, the old ways of doing things, and that it was obligatory on them to do that. And they were quite persuasive. And we read in the Galatian letter that they became unsettled, the people became unsettled, the new believers. It made some of them go back to adopting the customs that they had previously kept, observances, things that were prescribed under the Old Covenant. And with the non-Jewish people in particular, it made some of them revert to their pre-Christian customs and culture. And some of those things were quite pagan. And when Paul and Barnabas heard what had happened in Galatia, we read in verses 17 to 20 of chapter 4 that they were overcome with anger. How could this happen? What had happened? Paul says, "When I came to you, you welcomed me as if I were an angel, as if I was Christ himself. You would have done anything for me." He had eye problems, and he said, "Look, if you could have, you would have taken your own eyes out and given them to me. You were so committed and you were so supportive of us and our mission. Now we hear that you've transferred your allegiance. I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Or in other words, we're back to square one. We're back to learning A, B, C, back to kindergarten. Why? For the Jewish believers, we read that their point was that they were back to keeping days, months, seasons, and years. In verse 10, Paul said, "You are observing special days and months and seasons and years." Four time periods that were the framework of the Jewish religion and culture, the framework of the Jewish liturgical calendar. Back to saying, we've got to keep special days, and they were particularly referring to the Sabbath days of the Old Testament. Back to keeping special months. The first day of every month was a new moon festival. Back to the seasons, the festivals of Pentecost and Tabernacles and Passover. Back to years. The seventh year, every seventh year was a special year to cancel debts and free slaves. The 50th year was a special year. The Jubilee, where the same cancelling of debts and freeing slaves occurred. And the point is that they were reverting back to that structure for life and order. And that had a certain appeal to it, and it was adopted again by these Jewish Christians. The danger and the fallacy of that is that they were told they had to do it. They had to do it to please God. They had to observe these special times. To relate to God and be accepted by Him, to be justified, they had to keep doing these things. And so the gospel became Christ plus these ceremonial requirements. And in chapter 1 and verse 6 of Galatians, Paul has already said, you have reverted to another gospel. These traditional days and these traditional times took the place of celebrating Jesus. They were supposed to be pointers to Christ, but they now were put in place again as obligatory for Christians. But Christ was coming to fulfill those times. He was coming to fulfill those days. He, for example, is our Sabbath rest, we read in Hebrews chapter 4. It's our rest in Christ that is really what the Sabbath day was pointing to. He is the Passover lamb that the Passover was pointing to. He made the sacrifice for our sins. He is our atonement. He sets the captives free as the Jubilee and the seventh year forecast. Christ fulfilled every Sabbath day, every month, every festival, and every year. And that's why it is wrong and was wrong for them to go back to instituting those customs again. They have been fulfilled. For the Gentiles, they also would have been caught up in that. But there's something special about them that we see here in this particular chapter. They, some of them, reverted to customs that they practiced before they came to know Christ. They reverted back to their pre-Christian customs. The Galatians were an interesting people. They were the Gauls of the ancient world. Originally coming from Central Europe, they migrated, some to France, some to England. So some of them might be our very distant cousins, and some to the area of Galatia in Turkey. But many ancient writers refer to them as changeable, fickle, easily persuaded. And when Paul hears what happened at Galatia, he says that they also reverted to particular pre-Christian beliefs. Chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, he says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're slaves to those who by nature are not gods, natural gods, called gods, but really spirits that control the life of the people. Their belief was that every activity was controlled by a spiritual force, primal spirits that influenced and directed people for centuries before Christ. For example, a fertility god, a war god, and they're called the basic principles of this world. They reverted to those positions also, as well as the Jewish customs. They basically reverted to the religion of their culture. Their culture is important. It helps us understand who we are and what we do and how we do it, and it gives us a sense of identity. But culture is never neutral. It doesn't just drop out of the sky. Our Western culture and our Australian culture, as a consequence, is a culture that has been formed largely by our Christian heritage. Particular expressions of culture are justice, care for the underdog and the weak and the needy, mateship, and they're positives of culture. Traditional cultures were underpinned by traditional religions. Pre-Christian pagan cultures contained practices about how to appease the spiritual forces that Paul is talking about here in Galatians 4. When Christian missions are expressed in countries where there is paganism, the gospel has to be presented in relation to culture, but to discern what things are good and what things are not good in order to enculture the message. When the Galatian Christians were told they had to go back to customs before Christ, that the life of faith in Christ was not really enough, some of them reverted to aspects of their pre-Christian culture. And their reversion to those elementary spirits added to their faith and fused their faith in Christ and their customs together. And it became gospel plus culture, gospel plus tradition, and that adds up to a different gospel. As Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. What have you been doing through this COVID lockdown? I'm sure that many of us have had more time to do different things or do things that we've always wanted to catch up on things, especially if you're retired. I've been restoring a lot of items. For example, a 1930s bow saw, a brass water pressure gauge that measures pressure in feet head of water, a 1950s black Baker-like phone that we had when I was a boy. Now, they're all interesting collectibles, but the point is they are simply that. They're interesting collectibles. They were good for their time. They have now passed their use-by date. Why would I use a 1930s bow saw when I can use my Makita jigsaw and Triton workbench? What can I use a water pressure gauge for and measure feet head of water? Why would I use the old black phone when I've got a mobile in my back pocket? Instead, the bow saw looks beautiful hanging on my workshop wall. The brass pressure gauge is mounted on the lounge room wall, nicely polished. And the phone looks great sitting as a decoration on my desk. I'm not going back to use them. They've had their day. And the comparison is obvious with what happened in Galatia. Going back to stuff that has had its day should have been long and truly gone, and instead moving on in their relationship with Christ. Paul concludes chapter 4 by illustrating the difference between the old and the new, the old covenant and the new covenant. And there's always a challenge for us, even now, as Christians, to know the difference, to understand the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And so Paul uses an allegory to talk about these two covenants. And the allegory is about two ladies and their two children. Now, you've got to have a lot of discernment and great care if you start talking about two ladies, especially when you start to compare them, their appearance, their personality, how they act. It's a slippery slope. Further, the slope gets slipperier when you start comparing their children and put them side by side and note the difference. You can criticise me, but don't criticise my children. And don't compare your children with my children, because, I won't say any more. We're on a slippery slope when we start comparing people. But here in Galatians 4 and verses 21 to 31, Paul compares Sarah and Hagar and their two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Each mother was totally different from the other. Each son was totally different from the other. And he uses the comparison to teach the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. In verse 24, he says, the women represent two covenants, and they are as different as black and white and as the proverbial chalk and cheese. Sarah was a free woman. Hagar was her servant, or a slave. Straight away, there's a big difference. Sarah's son Isaac, we read in verse 23, was born as a result of promise. God had made a promise to Abraham and his wife Sarah that in their old age they would have a son, and he was promised. And by faith, they believed that promise. By comparison, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, was born in the ordinary way. One represents the new covenant. Sarah and Isaac represent the new covenant of faith and promise and grace. Hagar represents the old covenant given on Mount Sinai of law. Verse 24, the comment about her is that one covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. One further comparison is made between Sarah and Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael. Sarah represents the heavenly and the spiritual Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that is going to come down from heaven. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Whereas the literal Jerusalem, the actual physical Jerusalem in verse 25 says, she is in slavery with her children, still in the bondage to the old law, the old customs, and the old covenant. And the final comment in verse 28 is made, now you brothers, addressing this now to the Galatian Christians, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Don't go back. You now live in a new way. You are now living in the promises of God. Guard your freedom. Culture and an old covenant threatens it. These two factors are what we also need to constantly deal with to prevent us from reverting to old ways. We need special care that our faith doesn't become gospel plus culture. There's always a pressure from our culture to conform. And much in the culture is good, but there are things in the culture that aren't so good. And we're under pressure always to conform to non-biblical cultural practices and beliefs. I was baptised in 1965. And when I was baptised, I was presented with a copy of the New Covenant. It was the popular, current, modern version of the New Testament by J.B. Phillips, which if you're under 50, you wouldn't know who he was. If you're over 50, you've probably got a copy. I don't read it now, but there was a famous paraphrase that Phillips made in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where he paraphrased that verse with the words, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould." And he was talking there, this verse there was saying it's not just behaviour, but it's culture. The way the world around us thinks, don't let that become the mould that you're forced into, because that will take away our freedom as believers. We need to be careful that our faith doesn't become gospel plus law, gospel plus old covenant, that we don't adopt practices that are not according to Christ. That becomes a bondage, and God has given us a place of freedom. Let me conclude with the words from next Sunday's sermon. Galatians 5 and verse 1, the very next words following on from chapter 4. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you lay before us the way to remain free. You lay before us the way to continue to serve you that doesn't get tangled up with old customs, old bondages, that we are to walk free with our head held high. Enable us by your Spirit in this week and the coming days to know you and to live in you, to live in Christ, and to know you're empowering to do what you enable us and call us to do. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and reverting, and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen.